Hi everybody, doing okay? Lovely. Isn't it great to see all the children at Christmas? Because Christmas, really, I was thinking, what is Christmas all about? And one of the things that's unique about Christmas is the presents, isn't it? Because we have presents at birthday, but not so many. And we often will, you know, perhaps have food with friends and things like that. But presents is one of those features of Christmas. And the thing I remember most as a child is having a stocking at Christmas. And I think my parents used to do that to make sure that I didn't get up too early. And me and my twin brother, we would wait for the rustle of Santa creeping in and putting a sock on the end of the bedpost. And it wouldn't be as nice as the one on the screen here. It would actually be one of my dad's black socks, all stretched long. And inside would be like little felt pens and a comic. And down the bottom, of course, the obligatory Satsuma tucked in the toe. And so I used to really love that about Christmas, the excitement of presents. And the thing about presents is that we like to give presents to the people we love, don't we? It's not really so much about how much the present costs, but it's about the thought that counts. And I actually, you know, I don't have a stocking for my dad, but I actually have my dad's Christmas present right here. I don't see him very often because he lives a long way away, but he's actually here today. And so I'm going to give him his present. So just remember, it's the thought that counts. Oh, happy Christmas, Dad. Nice to have you here. And so giving presents is a sign of love, that we love somebody, and it might not be about the expense, but it's about something that we think that they will really like. But at Christmas, this is the amazing thing. God gave a present at Christmas that he didn't spare any expense. It was the most expensive present anyone could ever give. In fact, it was priceless. And at Christmas, God gave Jesus to us. It was a priceless gift for the whole world. And this morning we're going to look at why was it priceless and how did it happen? Well, it all happened 2,000 years ago, and the people were waiting for a savior. The people at the time were waiting for somebody to save them. They knew that they'd gone far from God, from the things they'd said and the things they'd done, and that they were far away from him. And then they needed somebody, a superhero, a real life superhero, a savior to bring them back close to God. And so all the people were waiting, and they were waiting, and they were waiting, and they were waiting. And then one day, in the time when Herod was the king of Judea, there was a young teenager in the town of Nazareth called Mary. Now, Mary was just going about her own business, and all of a sudden, an angel came to visit her called Angel Gabriel. And the angel turned up, and Mary, understandably, was scared, because it's not every day that an angel turns up in your bedroom. And the angel said, "Greetings, Mary. You are highly favored. God is with you." "Is he?" she thought. "What do you mean, I'm highly favored? Is that a little bit like Bruce Forsyth? You're my favorite? What does that exactly mean?" And Gabriel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and this is your mission should you choose to accept it. You are to become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be the Son of God himself, and his kingdom will reign forever and ever. He will be the savior everyone's been waiting for." "But how will this happen to me?" said Mary. "I'm just a young girl and I'm not even married." The angel Gabriel said, "Nothing is impossible for God. His power will come on you and the Holy Spirit will make it happen." "That is amazing," thought Mary. And she thought about it for a moment and she said, "I choose to accept the mission. May it be done to me just as you say." And the power of God came over Mary, and Jesus was planted inside her as a baby. And it was amazing. But there was a bit of a complication, as there always is. And the complication was the fiancé called Joseph. Now, he wasn't a complication. It was great to have this fiancé, Joseph, but it's a bit of a problem when you find you're pregnant. And so Mary went to speak to Joseph about what had happened, and he didn't believe her, and he was really upset. And he thought, "Oh, this is so disappointing." But because he was a kind man, he decided not to break off with her in front of everyone. He didn't put it all over Facebook. He didn't Twitter it. But actually, he just made sure he would quietly put her away, not to disgrace her and not to break it off. But when he went to bed that night, an angel came to visit him and spoke to him and said, "Joseph, Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby inside her doesn't belong to another man, but it belongs to God. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph was told the future, that here this superhero was coming, and he was inside Mary right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was his job, Joseph, to take care of Mary and to take care of the baby and to be its dad and to give Mary his protection. When Joseph woke up, he had a choice to make, and he chose to do what the angel said, and he took Mary into his protection. Why was it so important that Mary was a virgin when she had baby Jesus? It was because if Jesus was to be the savior of the world, it needed to be somebody who could defeat sin and death, who had never sinned themselves. And so it had to be a baby come from God, not a baby come from man. Now, Mary went on to have other children with Joseph later on. She didn't stay a virgin all her life. She had other boys and girls that were Jesus' brothers and sisters, and they had Joseph as their dad. But Jesus was the only one who had God as his dad, so he could be the savior of the world, born by the Holy Spirit. Now, just then, just when you think things can't get worse, like any soap drama, at this point that Mary is about 9 months pregnant, Caesar Augustus decides that there needs to be a census. And the census means everyone has to travel to their hometown to register. Now, Joseph was born in Bethlehem, so he had to go back with Mary to Bethlehem. Now, this isn't great timing when you're 9 months pregnant to be traveling 70 miles on the back of a donkey from Galilee to Judea. And so Joseph helped Mary onto the donkey. She said, "How far is it? Will it be that far?" "It won't be very far, I promise," said Joseph. And she gets on the donkey, and for 3 to 4 days, with every little bump, she goes all the way to Bethlehem. Now, girls, I don't know about you, but when I went all the way to Singleton Hospital in the car, that was far enough. But 3 to 4 days in labor on the donkey, you know, hats off to Mary, amazing. No epidural, she just went for it. And after all that bumping around and all the traveling, and they got into Bethlehem, and it was packed, it was crowded, because everybody had come to Bethlehem to check in. And late rooms was full, everything was full, there was nowhere to stay. And she said, "Oh, Joseph, that special tummy ache that means the baby is coming has started, and quick, I need somewhere right now." But they went to the different places, nowhere could take her. And then they found a stable with the animals, and the innkeeper said, "It's warm and dry, you can come in here." And so Mary and Joseph went in, and there in the stable, in that little place, the little baby was born. And they laid him in a manger. And a manger was the animal's feeding trough. Now, you imagine, not very health and safety, but there they are. They wrapped him up and put Jesus in the manger. And it was awesome. And as Mary looked down at this little baby, she said, "But we are so ordinary, and this stable is so ordinary. And that's why God came to a stable and not to a palace, because he came for ordinary people like you and me." And so in an ordinary place, the most extraordinary thing happened, and the Savior of the world was born. And Mary wrapped him up tightly and waited to see what would happen next. Well, what happened next? There were some shepherds living nearby, and these guys were on the night shift. They'd drawn the short straw. Christmas again, I'm on the night shift. And so out they were, looking after their flocks up on the hills. And they're just having a chat. And suddenly, out of the blue, up turns an angel. And understandably, the Bible tells us they were terrified. And the angel said, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, not just for you, but for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this is how you will know. This will be the sign. You will go down and find a baby lying in a manger." In a manger, the shepherds said to each other. Who would put a baby in a manger? In a manger. But the angel hadn't finished, and suddenly the whole sky was full of a blaze of angels. And it was like a massive party, and the glory all shone, and the shepherds had never seen anything like it. And the angels sang, "Peace on earth to men. It's the Savior that you have been waiting for," because they had been waiting. They had been waiting for a saviour, for their superhero, and they were so excited they had to go and see straight away. The biggest surprise for them that they talked about on the way was what the angel had said, because they were God's special people waiting for a superhero. But the angel had said this wasn't just for them, but it was for all the people, forever, all the people. That means you and me, for everybody, not just for a chosen few, but for the whole world. A priceless gift who was God himself, to save every person and bring them back close to God, to experience his love now and his love for all eternity. So the shepherds hurried off to Bethlehem and they said, let's go and see what has happened. And they went down and they found it just as the angel had said. There was a baby in a manger, in a stable. And they talked to everybody that they could meet about the angels and about what had happened and about the baby. And then it was time to go back to work. And Mary treasured it all up in her heart. For 9 months she'd been living knowing that the superhero Jesus was going to be born. And nobody else knew, but now the angels had come and the shepherds had come and people knew about it. And it wasn't just her and Joseph, but here he was, the saviour of the whole world. And next it was the wise men who came searching. And they came to Jerusalem from the east and they travelled all the way from the east. They were educated, they were rich, but they were still looking. They had it all, but they were looking for more. They were looking for something else. It's a bit like, do you find sometimes there's got to be more to life than getting up, eating my shreddies, going to work, coming back, bit of TV, make the lunchboxes, go to bed, do it all again. There's got to be a little bit more. And that's what the wise men thought. There has to be more. And one day they worked out and they looked in the sky and they saw a star that led them all the way to Jerusalem, that there was going to be the birth of a new king. And they arrived at the palace in Jerusalem. Now we know Mary is in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, but the king was in Jerusalem. And the wise men went and talked to King Herod. Now King Herod was a proud king. He was king of the Jews, and he listened to these wise men. And the wise men said, where is the one that has just been born to be king of the Jews? King of the Jews, Herod thought. I'm the king of the Jews, and I'm not about to retire. And he wasn't very pleased, but he hid it with a mask, and he put on his poker face, and he said to the wise men, tell me, when you find this baby, tell me where the baby is so I can go and worship the baby too. And then he got all his wise men together and his teachers, and he got all the laws out and all the scriptures, and he said, find out where this baby's going to be born. And the teachers looked through all the scrolls and they said, here it is, it's Bethlehem. The new king of the Jews will be born in Bethlehem. The new king of the Jews, said Herod, I'm going to stamp this one out. And so he sends the wise men off to Bethlehem and waits for them to come back. So the wise men go on their way and they find that the star stops over a house. And it stops over the house where Jesus is. And they say, at last, we've come all this way and we have found him. And they went in, they saw Jesus with Mary, and they opened up their treasures and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were very strange gifts for a baby. It was because the wise men knew it was a king that had been born, and some of the gifts were to do with his burial, that they knew one day his death would be very significant. And so they gave him gifts that were about him being a king and about his death. Now, an angel came and warned the wise men, do not go back to Herod. And so they went home another way. And Mary and Joseph didn't know of this threat brewing against them, that Herod was out to kill the baby. And when all the visitors had gone, Herod realized that the wise men had tricked him. When they didn't come back, he realized, and he started to get his army together, that he would go out to find and kill Jesus. But that night, an angel came and warned Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, escape now. Herod is looking for you to kill the child. Your job is protector. Take the baby and Mary and escape to Egypt. So that night, in the middle of the night, they wrapped up their few belongings back on the donkey and they escaped out of Bethlehem in the night and went off to Egypt. that morning, Herod took all his army down to Bethlehem, and they couldn't find Jesus anywhere. And Jesus had escaped Herod because it was not his day to die. But he would die another day. Because later on, at the age of 33, Jesus went all the way to the cross to do the job of saving that he came for. And God loved us so much that he gave Jesus a gift beyond price, that he gave him because someone had to die for all the sins of the world, all the things that we've done wrong and thought wrong. Somebody had to die for that. And only somebody who had never done anything wrong could die in our place. And that was Jesus' job. And Jesus went all the way to the cross at just 33 years of age. And he died there on the cross to pay the price for everything we have ever done wrong, that it would all be paid, all finished, all completely done in one act on the cross, because God loved us so much. And Christmas was the beginning, and Easter was the culmination of the mission. It was when Easter sealed the deal. And at Mission Easter, Jesus defeated death, and 3 days later, he rose again and came alive again. He defeated death. He defeated sickness to buy a future for every person to be close to God and experience his forgiveness. Now, for a period of about 40 days, Jesus, when he came back alive, walked and talked and ate with his disciples and with his friends until it was time for him to go back to heaven, where he said, "I have prepared a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you and get it ready for you." And Jesus went all the way to the cross. And there's no mystery about heaven. Sometimes people say, "Well, how would I get to heaven? Is it there? Is it a chance? Do I have to be good enough to go to heaven?" And God said, because none of us were good enough, that's why he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to pay the price that the door was open for every person who chooses to follow Jesus, to follow him straight into heaven, to experience his love now, to experience his forgiveness for everything we have ever done wrong, and to walk with his love and his peace in our life. He forgives our sin, and he starts a friendship with us that lasts forever, that every day we may experience his peace and his joy. And that's why Jesus came as a penniless little baby in a stable, in an ordinary place, because he came for ordinary people just like you and me. And that's why God's gift at Christmas is Jesus, a gift beyond price, a gift beyond compare. Because God loves us so much that he wants to bring us close to know his love every day. And that is the story of Christmas. And like the angel said, it is good news for everyone, not just for a special few, but good news for every single person. And Beth is going to come and sing to us now a really lovely song to just like close this little talk. You know that lovely song by Emily Sandé that says, "Next to Me"? That is what Jesus wants to do at Christmas. He wants to come right next to us. The band, you can come up. That's great. He wants to come right next to us, that we will feel him close and know his love and know his tenderness on our lives, that we ask at Christmas, "Where is God?" He is right next to me. And we're going to pray just while the band get ready. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Christmas, that you came with a job to do. You came as the Saviour of the world to bring us close to God, that we can experience your love, your forgiveness, and your kindness upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you came at Christmas to be close to us, and we pray that we will know you close next to us. In Jesus' name, amen.